replace it. It was just out of reach, an itch I couldn't scratch. I took a step closer.
"And we're as secure as ever, sir,"
the voice I didn't recognize said.
"There's nothing to worry about. No one can get into Castle Locks without us knowing."
"Is that right?"
was the response. And a dark chill raced down my spine. My knees felt weak, and I placed a hand on top of the obelisk that marked the final resting place of my mentor. There was a warm pulse underneath my hand, though it might have just been my imagination. It felt real, but my heart was thundering in my chest and the blood was rushing in my ears because I was so close. To Morrigan. And to Rouve.
"Thank you for your report,"
Rouve said coolly, his accent thick and melodious.
"I hope that your words prove to be fact. For your sake. Niren wouldn't be pleased if something were to happen. Especially since Sam has returned from his sojourn."
"Sir, if I may."
"Yes."
"Do you truly believe it, what was said? That he's Sam of Dragons now? That he's gathered the dragons of Rhaenya at his side?"
"It doesn't matter,"
Rouve said flatly.
"He's been gone far too long. Rhaenya has fallen to the Darks, to Meereen. It doesn't matter who he is now, or what he is capable of. The king is in the dungeons, and the gods have abandoned the country. The resistance will fall. Sam will fall. Meereen's grace is absolute. He will rule Rhaenya with an iron fist. And soon, his reach will extend beyond the borders, and the world will fall to its knees in veneration."
"Oh my god," I groaned. Villains monologue even when they talk to each other. They are the absolute worst.
"Who's there?"
I slapped my hand over my mouth. The hedges rustled, and before I could move, Rouve entered the clearing, eyeing me curiously. He looked exactly as he had before, aside from the fact that he wore a robe similar to my own. His skin was dark, his long hair pulled back and tied off with a piece of rawhide. I could see the tattoos on his chest, peeking out over the open collar at his throat. And he wore earrings in the style of the gypsies, long and dangling. I felt a rush of anger that he could still claim a culture that he'd helped destroy and imprison. I tried to keep a neutral expression as I dropped my hand, but there was a moment that I almost took a step forward to choke the fucking life out of him. But then the obelisk pulsed again, and it was warm and sweet, and I felt it down to my very bones. The rage reduced to a slow simmer, bubbling just underneath the surface. This wasn't just about me. There were people hidden in the passageway who were counting on me. Now wasn't the time for revenge.
"Who do we have here?"
Rouve asked, cocking his head at me.
I'm new," I blurted out. "And I got lost. Don't you hate it when that happens? I know I do."
He smiled at me, and if I didn't know who he was and what he was capable of, I would have thought it kind.
"How about that?"
I nodded furiously.
"Yes, totally lost. Like, I was in the castle, and then I didn't know where I was, and got all turned around, and suddenly here I am. Yeah, just standing here. With you."
"Here you are,"
he said, taking a step toward me.
"I don't believe I've seen you here before."
"Well, yeah, just said I was new, so..."
He chuckled.
"Right. You did. Forgive me. Your name?"
My throat clicked as I swallowed. I didn't think Purity of the Blushing Virgins was going to fly here, so I said,
"Bill."
Because it was the only innocuous name I could think of.
"Bill."
"Yes, that's me. I'm Bill. Bill the Dark Horse. Yes, Bill the Dark Horse. That's my wizarding name, because I'm evil, just like you. Curse you, heroes. I hate you so much."
His smile was toothy. It reminded me of a dragon.
"You're an odd sort."
I shrugged awkwardly.
"Yep, that's pretty much me, and this entire situation. Ha ha, awkward."
"Do you know who I am?"
he asked as he took another step toward me. I wasn't going to give him the satisfaction. I shook my head, keeping my expression bland.
Really? That is unexpected. Allow me to introduce myself. I'm Ruf.
He extended a hand toward me. I had a split second to decide whether I should take the hand of a traitor or break his fingers and then kick him in the nuts. I shook his hand. It was one of the hardest things I ever had to do. His hand was cool, his grip firm, and his thumb brushed against my knuckles. I had to remind myself that I had to let him go, that it probably wasn't smart to attempt to dismember him here and now. He held my hand for a beat longer than he should have, and said,
"You seem familiar to me. I wonder why that is."
I shrugged as I pulled my hand away.
"I get that a lot. I have one of those faces, I guess."
"We've never met."
"No. Hence why we just shook hands. An introduction."
"That we did. Interesting. Tell me, Bill, the Dark Horse, why are you here?"
I squinted at him.
"Like, in the castle or existentially? Because those are two very different things."
He chuckled.
"I like you. You're different."
That wasn't the compliment he thought it was.
"Thanks. I try."
"You're touching the marker. You have been since I found you."
I hastily pulled my hand away from the obelisk. I felt cold at the loss of it.
"Yeah, it's..."
He waited. I shook my head.
"It's nothing."
"Oh, it's not nothing,"
Ruf said, moving so he stood on the other side of the obelisk.
"I don't think that word could ever be used to describe the man that represents. Morgan of Shadows was certainly more than nothing."
Hearing my mentor's name on his lips was almost enough to cause me to forget why I was here and who I was protecting. I wanted nothing more than to tear this man apart, to break him until he was begging for me to stop. And even then I would say no. And he would... I took a deep breath. I let it out slowly.
"Morgan of Shadows. I've heard of him."
Ruf grimaced.
"Of course you have. Everyone has. He's a legend."
He looked down at the obelisk.
"Well, he was a legend."
"I suppose."
Ruf traced a finger along the words carved into the black stone.
"I knew him. Maybe not as well as others could claim to. But I stood before him. I looked him in the eye. They had no idea who I was or what I was capable of."
He sighed and smiled ruefully at me.
Funny how that works. One of the most powerful people in all the world. And I was able to fool him. I was scared that day. Nervous, though I couldn't show it. I had a part to play."
I swallowed thickly, my hands and fists at my sides. Ruf sighed as he shook his head.
It doesn't matter now. Morgan is gone. Mirren saw to that. Much like he'll see to the rest of the world. I understand people are scared. They often are of things they don't understand. I don't see why they can't just give him a chance.
I stared at him.
The man who took over their country and forced people from their homes and into prisons because of the color of their skin and the faith they belong to and the class they were born into, and you want them to give him a chance?
Ruf frowned.
You sound liberal.
My eyes widened.
Oh, no. I mean, evil things. I'm so happy with all that has happened. Dropkick defenseless animals, or whatever villains like us do. Electrocute the gay out of people. I don't know. I'm new to this whole bad guy thing. I'm not very good at it yet.
There's nothing wrong with being gay.
I was very sweaty. It didn't help that Ruf was absolutely correct.
Right. I didn't mean it like that. In fact, we should electrocute the straight out of people.
Interesting,
Ruf said, rubbing his beard thoughtfully.
I don't know that Mirren has ever thought about that before. Perhaps I should bring that to his attention. You might just be good at the whole villain thing, after all.
I was the worst person alive. Or maybe instead of electrocuting anyone, we could just leave people alone and let them do whatever they wanted and be happy and let things go back to the way they were. Ruve waved a hand at me.
That doesn't sound very villainous.
His eyes narrowed as he looked at me again.
In fact, it sounds treasonous. Where did you say you came from again?
But before Ruve discovered that I couldn't lie for shit, another Dark burst through the clearing, panting as he bent over, hands on his knees.
Sir! He managed to get out. Your presence is required! There's been a breach!
I felt instantly cold. Ruve looked only mildly interested.
Well, what kind of breach?
We're unclear on that, sir. A sewer grate outside the city is missing, and there are footprints around it.
The resistance is getting brave,
Ruve said, sounding amused.
Fascinating. Sam returns, and now this inspires them.
The Dark's eyes bulged.
Sam? Are you sure? Maybe he hasn't even made it to the resistance yet.
Are you scared of him?
Oh, yes, the Dark said. Extremely. Most of us are.
Ruve frowned.
And why is that?
The Dark hesitated. Then,
it is said, he can make your nipples explode with just a single thought.
Ha! Floriboris, lamb motherfucker.
Bah!
Ruve scoffed.
I highly doubt he can do any such thing.
I told myself that Ruve would be the first, and I would relish it. He glanced back at me, staring for longer than should have been necessary.
You'll do well here, I think. Just don't let me catch you out here again. Do you understand me?
I nodded. He spun on his heels, robes flaring out like an asshole, as he followed the Dark out of the clearing. I breathed a sigh of relief. And then screamed a little when he stuck his head back through the bushes.
I look forward to seeing you again,
he said, winking at me. Then he was gone. I waited another moment or two before turning back to the entrance to the passageway. You can come out now, I called quietly. Ryan was first, bursting through the vines, a furious expression on his face.
Are you okay?
He demanded, pointing his drawn sword in all directions as though we were surrounded by villains.
Where is he? Let me at him. I swear to the gods I will separate his head from his body and carve his heart from his chest and chop his mother-cracking dick off.
So violent. I whispered in awe.
I assume the sewer grate in question was how you entered the city?
Randall asked Justin, who nodded.
That certainly explains the smell.
I stared at him with wide eyes. We smell?
I certainly didn't want to say anything, the king said, patting my shoulder. But yes, you all do. And this is coming from someone who has spent the last 6 months in a dungeon.
You have terrible ideas, I told Justin. He rolled his eyes.
We got my father, didn't we? I consider that a success, even if we do smell like shit.
I'll cut his traitorous tongue from his mouth and feed his nose to a pod of angry sulkies, and chop his fingers off one by one until he is begging me for mercy.
Can't you just suck us through your hole now? I mean, we can't go out the way we came.
Lady Tina,
Justin reminded me. We could leave her. I mean, she'd understand, right? I'd understand if I was her.
You know,
Justin said, eyeing me with disdain.
If you weren't with Ryan, I'd swear to the gods that you and Lady Tina actually liked each other.
I gaped at him. He shrugged. Hey, Justin?
Yes, Sam.
Do you remember all those times I called you my best friend I've ever?
Unfortunately.
I take them back, I said savagely. What, may I ask, the fuck?
Oh, no. I'm so sad. Randall, you are not allowed to suck us through your magic hole until we have Lady Tina.
I blame you for everything,
Randall growled at me.
And then I'll pay for a disease-ridden prostitute to rub their herpes on his toothbrush, and we'll watch as he brushes his teeth.
Many things change,
the king said, leaning down to kiss the top of the obelisk.
But how they also stay the same. You would be amused and exasperated, old friend. Just as you always were.
Ryan, I snapped, stop stabbing the ground. My mom planted that grass, and then I'll roast him over an open spit until his skin cracks and juices drip from his heated flesh.
If any of you call it socking through my magic hole one more time, I'm going to leave you all here to die,
Randall threatened.
This rescue mission will be stricken from all history books, Justin said, crossing his arms over his chest.
Amused. And exasperated indeed, the king said, quietly.
The trek through the castle went better than expected. We only encountered a few darks, and they paid us little attention as they scurried by. As we moved through the throne room, the king scowled, eyeing his throne longingly. Justin held onto his arm, pulling him along. He offered little resistance as we passed through the great doors, but didn't seem to find the new banners hanging from the ceilings and walls very amusing.
They're so totalitarian, he muttered.
Castle Lox is meant for all. I truly do despise him.
The stairways were empty as we descended into the castle's depths, tracing our path back toward Lady Tina. I held out a small hope that she'd run away or been captured, or she'd simply been erased from existence, but that proved false when we rounded the corner and found her waiting where we'd left her. Her eyes widened when she saw us, and specifically the king.
Where have you been?
She hissed at us.
There's movement in the castle.
How astute your observational skills are, I retorted.
Who is this strange-looking man?
The king asked.
Lady Tina,
Justin said. The king's lips twitched. Randall groaned.
Sam!
What? I didn't do anything. Oh, wait, I did. But still, I think the punishment fits the crime.
Ha! Huh.
Lady Tina cried.
I knew you did this to me on purpose.
You're damn right I did, I said gleefully. And if we're lucky, maybe I'll forget how to change you back, and you'll forever be stuck as if one of your parents was actually a weasel.
At least he didn't turn your nose into a penis,
Randall told her.
Now, Randall, that sounded dangerously close to fondly reminiscing.
I regret ever coming to rescue you,
Randall said. Can we move? Justin snapped. Now. Ryan was already at the door, ear pressed against the wood.
I don't think the group of men Sam was going to slut around with and cause to run to church have come back yet.
Randall and the king slowly turned to look at me. I rolled my eyes. It's not like it sounds. Well, actually, it is like it sounds, but I wasn't actually going to do it. You know how Ryan gets when people want to put things in me.
Literally everything wants to sleep with him,
he muttered, pushing open the door a crack to peek through. But once I'd like to meet someone who doesn't want to have sex with my boyfriend.
I don't,
Lady Tina said.
I don't,
Justin said.
I don't,
Randall said.
I would,
the king said. Everyone turned to gape at him. He just shrugged.
What? He's adorable. If I was 30 years younger.
Dad!
Oh my god. I knew I was irresistible. Justin, did you hear that? I could be your new stepfather, and nope, that was dangerously close to sounding like heaven. Thanks, Your Highness, but I'm going to pass, even if you are every daddy fantasy I've ever had. The king looked rather pleased at that.
I'm so conflicted,
Ryan said through gritted teeth.
I mean, I know I have to protect him with my life, but I also want to challenge him to a duel.
We don't have time for that, I said, smacking him on the ass before I pushed on the door. Everyone out so Randall can suck us through his...
I will leave you here,
Randall threatened. They dutifully filed through the door, out into the cool air, the night sky starting to fade in the east. I followed through and started to shut the door behind me.
Sam.
I stopped, took a breath, glanced back down the hallway. Mirren stood there, looking coolly amused,
and I exploded.
The green and gold came rushing around me, the air rippling as my magic burst from my chest, crawling along my scars, which felt like they were burning. The rage that simmered boiled over, and all I could think about was destroying everything around me, bringing Castle Lox down upon him. This was as close to him as I'd been since he took Morgan from me. And he needed to pay for everything.
Ah,
he said, a smile curling his lips. And for a moment he looked so much like his brother that my breath hitched.
You are stronger than you were before. I'm impressed. I didn't expect that.
There were surges of light in my head. Blue and red and black and white. And they said,
No.
And,
Sam.
And,
Run, run, run.
And the oldest of them, the white, was the loudest of all. And he said,
I promised you that I would help you. I promised. I promised. I promised. But not now. Not now, Sam. Can't be now. You will die, and I can't have that. You need to run.
Sam!
A strong hand wrapped around my arm, a chest pressed against my back, breath hot and ragged near my ear. I tried to pull away because Mirren was right there, and
No!
Randall whispered fiercely.
Not now! Not like this!
A flicker of something crossed Mirren's face at the sight of Randall at my side, and it almost looked like remorse, like pain. But it was gone before I could see it for what it was.
Randall, I thought I'd failed. Something. Pure and bright. It was.
He shook his head.
It doesn't matter. Not anymore.
No,
Randall said softly.
I don't suppose it does. Not even I can save you now.
The smile slid from Mirren's face.
I never asked you to save me, dear heart.
I know. And I've never forgiven you for that, or myself.
Mirren flinched. He flinched. Let me go, I snarled at Randall, even as the dragon lights in my head pulsed as bright as they'd ever been.
Sam!
A voice cried out behind us. And through the haze of green and gold, through the rage that roared through me, demanding revenge against this dark wizard who had stolen Morgan away from me. I heard him. My cornerstone. He was calling for me, and he sounded terrified.
This isn't over,
I snapped at Mirren.
No. I don't expect it is.
Randall jerked me through the door, raising his hand as it closed behind us. A rush of magic that felt achingly familiar shot from him, and the stone around the doorway collapsed, dust billowing up as the ground shook. Randall threw me forward, and I slammed into Ryan's chest, his arms coming up around me. I looked up at him. His brow was furrowed, and he held me protectively against his chest as the others gathered around us. The collapsed doorway began to rumble, and Randall bellowed,
Hold on!
And then we were sucked through Randall's magic hole, Chapter 12. Nuns who commit armed robbery are the best kinds of nuns. Landing in a pile of limbs and dirt outside the gates of Camp Halfheart.
Motherfucker!
Someone has their foot pressed way too far up my anus, and I am not that kind of man.
That's a total lie.
Someone mumbled. I thought it was Justin, and I would have been offended had there not been a little truth to it. Long story. Shouts started going up inside Camp Halfheart, but I ignored them in favor of trying to disentangle myself from the wannabe orgy. I started to push myself up, but was pulled back down by a rather obstinate knight who didn't seem willing to let me go. I'm okay, I told him, even though I didn't know if that was true.
You're an idiot,
he whispered, lips pressed against my forehead.
You don't get to scare me like that.
What the hell were you thinking? Honestly? I don't know if I was.
Fool.
Probably, but what can you do?
You can get off of me,
a voice said from beneath him. Ryan looked suddenly fearful.
I think I'm lying on top of Randall.
You are. And while this is not the first time that I've been on the bottom, my hips don't move like they used to, and I'd appreciate it if you would get the hell off of me. I haven't had this much flesh atop me since my days spent with the Luftian quadruplets. They were of a rather garrulous sort, feeling the need to narrate every single little thing they were doing to me. Why?
I moaned, even as Ryan shoved me off with a choked-off scream that I was sure he'd later deny making.
Why must you say these things?
There was a flap of great wings before the ground rumbled beneath us. A gigantic head peered down at us, dark eyes glittering.
Well, now, what do we have here?
Kevin asked, a lecherous grin on his face.
And why was I not invited? Also, as a side note, Randall doesn't appear to be wearing underpants.
Ah! I cried, trying to roll as far away from him as I could.
Why would you do that? I'm old, Randall muttered. I'm allowed to do whatever I wish, even if that means not wearing underpants. They are restricting.
I'm not a size queen, but hello, Randall.
Kevin, not the time.
It's never the time.
Yes, but now is so not the time.
Oh, well, when you pull it that way. Oh, look, the king. Hello. Hello, king.
Kevin, the king said, accepting the dragon's assistance and rising to his feet. How lovely it is to see your face again.
It's a good face, if I do say so myself.
One of the best, the king agreed. Now if we could... But whatever else he planned to say was drowned out by cries of joy that poured through the gates as they opened. The people of Camp Halfheart had seen their king standing before them in one piece, and their emotions overflowed. Almost immediately we were surrounded. People shouting and crying and laughing, reaching in and trying to touch the king's hands and arms and chest. He took it all with a smile, greeting as many of them as possible, shaking hands and kissing cheeks. Lady Tina, Ryan, and Justin sat at his side, the former two with their weapons drawn, and the latter seemingly unwilling to leave his father's side. I didn't blame him. I was having a hard time not rushing over to him myself. But before I could even think of pushing through the crowd, there was a loud, unearthly shriek from behind me, and I was gathered up in large arms and held against a considerable chest as a unicorn wailed against my neck, telling me in no uncertain terms that I was not allowed to leave him again, that if I even attempted it, my intestines would be pulled from my body, wrapped around a tree, and I would be forced to walk away from said tree at a slow pace while my guts were pulled from my body.
So graphic,
I managed to say, as Tiggy squeezed me even tighter.
You're damn right it's graphic, Gary cried. Do you know how much stress you cause me? I swear to the gods, Sam, that if I get a gray hair because of you, I'm going to castrate you and feed your testicles to homeless children. Do you understand me?
Well, that was... Okay, that might have been a little much. Gary's eyes dried instantly. You know, as soon as I said it, I wondered if I'd gone too far. I suppose there are ways to get my point across without threatening to feed your cut-off penis to poor little orphans. I mean, the castrating thing still holds. But maybe next time I can say I'll feed it to adult homeless orphans. I patted his nose. I missed you too. Tiggy kissed the top of my head.
All right.
Yeah. Except for the whole having to whore myself out to a group of ruffians, coming face to face with a traitor who stabbed my boo, and then getting sucked through Randall's magic hole after a supervillain was about to monologue. So, a normal Tuesday then. It's only Tuesday? Ugh. Worst week ever.
What are you talking about?
Kevin asked as he made his way over.
Is it me? If so, you may continue. Especially if it's nice. I do like it when people say nice things about me.
But before we could assure him that we were most certainly not talking about him, I was jerked down from Tiggy's arms and into my parents. And it felt almost as good as it had when I'd stumbled out of the dark woods and found my way home. The king was whisked away almost immediately, after I changed the rescue party back to normal, even Lady Tina, taken to Justin's tent so that he could be fed and cleaned up while Justin filled him in on what he'd missed. Ryan looked conflicted, glancing between the two of us, but I waved him off, knowing that for the moment, his oath to the king came first. He kissed me on the cheek, then promised to bathe and find me later so we could try to get some sleep. Lady Tina met with the Foxy Lady Brigade, barking orders that the defenses around the camp needed to be triple-checked in case of a retaliation from the Dark Wizards. I didn't have the strength to tell them that I believed Mirren wouldn't do a thing. At least, not for the moment. He wasn't one to lash out in anger. Not when there were so many unknown variables. Gary and Tiggy demanded I immediately recount the tale of our adventure, seeing as they'd been left behind. Kevin had known bits and pieces, as he was connected to me in ways the others were not, but I filled in the blanks as best I could. By the time I got to the part about Rove, a large crowd had gathered around us, all hushed and wan. But it was an outlier who caught my eye. Someone standing at the edge of the crowd. I met Vedoma's gaze as I spoke of Rove, and for once she was the first to look away. I didn't know how I felt about that. Terry stood awkwardly off to the side, pretending not to listen, even though I knew he was. I was about to beg off and let Gary, Tiggy, and Kevin lead me home when a gnarled hand fell on my shoulder, the grip strong and unyielding.
"I need to have a word with Sam,"
Randall said ominously.
"Hi, Randall. Nice to see you, Randall. Thanks for the postcard you sent, Randall."
Gary sniffed loudly, nostrils flaring. He looked disappointed, but covered it quickly. I didn't know what Randall had planned, but I wasn't going to let him keep Gary's horn a secret for long.
"He sent postcard?"
"No, kitten, he didn't. That was me being facetious, seeing as how he disappeared without a trace, much like our bitch here."
Tiggy grinned at me.
"You my bitch."
"I know," I said tiredly, hoping against hope that Randall would suddenly forget who and where he was so that I could slip away and avoid whatever conversation was coming my way. I didn't expect it to be anything good.
"Are you going to murder him?" Gary asked Randall.
"Not today."
"Good." And then, "It's really good to see you again."
In wonder of all wonders, Randall smiled. "Or you might have had gas. I couldn't be sure."
"Thank you, Gary. Tiggy, I'm glad to see you both well. And Gary, we'll talk later. I promise."
"About?"
"Yes, about."
"I'll allow it. And now that that's out of the way, Tiggy, Kevin, let's go see if we can get the king to promise a reward from the treasury once it's returned to him for our unparalleled valor. I expect to be rewarded handsomely, given that I am the bravest unicorn in all the land." "Did you hear that, Terry? The bravest unicorn in all the land."
They left us. Terry bringing up the rear, muttering what I assumed were threats upon Gary's person under his breath. "Any chance we can postpone this?" I asked hopefully. "Like, say, maybe sometime next year? Or possibly never?"
"Sure."
"Really?"
"No."
"God damn it. I'll have you know that we are wasting valuable time when I could be macking on my man, seeing as how we haven't really gotten any alone time since I came back."
"My heart weeps for you."
I highly doubted that. For starters, he'd have to have a heart. He said,
"The grimoires. You have them."
I hesitated, but that in itself was all the answer he needed.
"Bring them, if you please."
I didn't argue. There wouldn't have been a point. They were in the pack where I'd left them, sitting on the floor of the room Ryan had occupied in my absence. The bed was unmade, the blankets tossed about, and I wanted nothing more than to crawl into it and sleep away the hours. I was exhausted, but Randall was waiting, and I knew I couldn't avoid whatever was coming. I had a pretty good idea what the conversation was going to be about, and I wasn't looking forward to it. I changed out of the robes and washed up before throwing on a pair of trousers that hung loose at the waist. They were Ryan's, but they made me feel better. I slung the pack over my shoulder and walked barefoot down the hall to where Randall sat in front of the fireplace, the flames crackling. A chair obviously meant for me sat opposite him. I felt like I was a kid again, and I was in trouble with my parents.
"Have a seat,"
he said, without looking away from the fire. I glanced longingly at the door, but did as he asked. I set the pack at my feet and kept my mouth shut, refusing to speak first, even though I had so many questions. He didn't wait long.
"I'm surprised."
"About?"
"That you didn't tell Gary I had his horn."
"Oh, shit. I forgot."
"Did you?"
"A lot happened, but..."
"But?"
"Shouldn't he have been able to sense it? I would have thought he'd know immediately. I felt it at Castle Locks." I frowned. "And apparently so did Mirren. That's what he meant, right? Pure. Bright." Randall nodded.
"An unfortunate mistake. And yes, Gary would know, except the magic is muffled at the moment."
"What? Muffled? How is it that wiry mesh you had on it?" I remembered how he'd covered the horn in his pack. "What is it?"
He sighed. "Just one of many, many things that can contain magic. It's old. A shroud made by a long extinct race of creatures that walked the earth before man. Was how Gary's horn could have stayed hidden for so long."
"Who had it? And where?"
"Does it matter?"
I was annoyed at that. I felt like he was playing a game. Of course it does. It didn't belong to them.
And what would you have done if you had found it instead of me?
I would have taken it back.
As I have done. What else?
I scowled at him. What are you asking? He looked relaxed, fingers steepled in front of him, as if he had all the time in the world.
Simply, what I asked. If you came upon the person who had in their possession Gary's horn, what would you have done?
I would have asked for it back.
And if they refused?
I would have taken it.
By force?
If necessary.
And if they fought you for it, what then?
I would have stopped them.
How?
By any means necessary.
Why?
Because they had something that didn't belong to them. Look, I know what you're doing.
Do you?
Yes, you knew me as Sam of Wilds, who I was. You're trying to see who I am now as Sam of Dragons, what kind of wizard I've become, what I'm willing to do for those I love.
And what are you willing to do for those you love?
I looked him in the eye. Everything. He nodded slowly, as if he'd been expecting that answer.
Sam of Dragons.
I rolled my eyes. Trust me, it wasn't my choice. GW kind of forced it upon me.
GW. Who? I see. It's fitting, I think.
You only like it because it used to be yours. He smiled a little at that.
Why? I would never
lie.
Maybe a little. It's like you were named after me. Ugh.
I wanted to be Sam the Awesomely Amazing or Sam the Best Wizard Ever, but GW said they were stupid and that I would be Sam of Dragons or he would eat me.
Did he now?
Yes, he's an asshole. He kind of reminds me of you. No wonder he was your mentor.
Also, yours.
God damn it.
It was in a country to the north, outside of the borders of Arrhenia, beyond the mountains and into the land of the giants.
Despite the gravity of the situation, despite my tiredness, I felt that old prickle of excitement course through me. You went to the giants? Oh my gods, tell me everything. How big are they? Do they eat human flesh? Are they brutish or civilized?
Maybe one day you'll find out.
I glared at him. Dude, not cool. You can't just say you went to the giants and then not tell me anything about them. That's rude.
Does it matter in the long run?
Well, no, but still. Wait, they had Gary's horn? He shook his head.
No, but they pointed the way.
Gods. What matter a villain was able to abscond from Varania with Gary's horn? I mean, to think of how evil they must have been, and how dastardly and nefarious.
They were nuns.
And capable of ripping the flesh from the bones of puppies and stuffing it down their gullets to... What? What?
Nuns.
He repeated. I waited for the punchline. There. Didn't seem to be one.
Nuns.
He nodded. Are you being serious?
Very. A group of traveling nuns had somehow stumbled upon Gary's horn and thought it to be a tool from the gods. They kept it covered in the shroud, except for moments when it was uncovered, and worshipped.
Oh, no, I moaned, putting my face in my hands. We can't tell him that. I already have one magical creature with a god complex. I don't need another. No, absolutely not. In fact, you tell him you found it in a cave, and that it was unguarded, and that it was super easy to get, and that will be that.
What about the part where, aside from the worship, the nuns used it as a weapon while they toured the countryside, robbing everyone in sight?
I peeked through my fingers.
Say what? Apparently, these nuns weren't exactly the pious sort, and funded their travels by committing armed robbery.
Because, of course, you can never tell him. Do you know what that would do to his ego?
He'd become insufferable, I'm sure. Even more so than he already is.
Yeah, he's wonderful like that. I dropped my hands back into my lap and slumped into the chair. How'd you get the horn back? He shrugged.
I dressed as a nun, infiltrated their ranks, gained their trust over a period of 4 months, And then, once I was appointed as one of the Guardians of the Horn, I stole it from them.
He frowned.
That didn't go quite as well as I had planned. As it turns out, a nun named Marcia, who I developed a close friendship with, discovered my betrayal and attempted to stab me with a pitchfork while alerting the other sisters. I learned rather quickly that hell hath no fury like a thieving nun scorned. They pursued me for quite some time, though I was eventually able to give them the slip when I entered the land of the giants again. As it turns out, the giants consider nuns to be their most dangerous of enemies, and an all-out brawl ensued, which provided me with an opportunity to slip back into Varenya.
I gaped at him. He smiled at me, his liver lips stretched thin.
Sweet molasses,
I said faintly. I don't know what to do with any of that.
Nor would I expect you to.
Why didn't you just get sucked through your magic hole?
He shrugged.
Now where would the fun in that be? Just because I can do certain types of magic doesn't always mean I will. Magic can't be the answer to everything, Sam.
You're telling me that you've been gone all this time because you were undercover with nuns?
Not the whole time, just most of the time.
You can never call me out for my shit again. Ever. What the hell, Randall?
I hardly doubt that's going to happen. You do stupid things that need to be pointed out.
Pot, kettle.
Well, I suppose that makes sense. You are named after me now, after all.
Nope. That's it. From this day forward, I am now Sam the Awesomely Amazing, and no one can say otherwise. You are appalling, and I absolutely refuse to be named after you. Oh my gods. And if you ever call me your child again, I'm going to turn your fucking tongue into a dick, and you will choke on it.
Wouldn't be the first time. I've choked.
No, you stop. Why are you like this? Who hurt you? Oh, right, Mirren. Oops. Okay, I'll allow it. For the next 5 minutes. After that, it's over. And you are not allowed to be gross for the rest of your life. And if you are, we are in agreement that I can punch you in the throat to make you stop. It's only fair.
Yes. Mirren. Thank you for the segue.
That wasn't a segue. And then he said,
Morgan knew something was off that day. He couldn't put his finger on it, but he was agitated. Antsy in a way I hadn't seen in a very long time. Somehow he knew.
I closed my eyes. I didn't want to know any of this.
When he was younger, he was like you in that regard, always moving. His mind, his body. Everything was at a pace that was hard for others to fathom. He had ideas that he'd focus on 1 minute, and then throw them out the next for something entirely different. Spells, constructs, incantations, outlines for magic far beyond his abilities. His parents didn't know what to do with him. He didn't fit the mold for what a wizard should be, not like I did. I took my studies seriously, to the point where I could go for decades on a singular idea that I would allow to consume me.
And Mirren? I asked quietly. Randall laughed quietly.
Mirren didn't care much for magic.
What?
He was the bane of his parents' existence. Really, the both of them were. But at least when Morgan came along, he was making the required attempts, even if he was all over the place. Mirren didn't. He thought that magic was too easy. But for those it came naturally to, it made them superior. He didn't like the thought of being better than anyone else. Their parents were, well, they had disdain for non-magic users. And even though they publicly spoke out against the Darks, they had a certain amount of respect for them, because they still had magic when most others didn't. Mirren was their great disappointment. And he knew it.
What changed? Randall looked down at his hands.
He met me.
The fire snapped and popped. And even though we were talking about the darkest wizard of all, my inner romantic couldn't help but ask, was it love at first sight?
Oh, gods, no. No, I despise the very sight of him. He thought the same of me.
I don't understand.
I know. And maybe you won't ever. I hated him until I didn't. I don't know if I could ever pinpoint the one moment when I realized my feelings toward him had changed, but I do remember looking at him one day and thinking how handsome he was, how wonderful his smile could be, how mischievous. And as it turned out, he'd been trying to impress me for far longer than I knew.
The Great White didn't like that very much, did he? Being your mentor and all.
No, I don't suppose he did. Things were different then, Sam. Wizards were more commonplace. Not just the Darks, though they've never had a problem thriving. After everything changed, after Mirren fell into shadow, the Darks splintered into the forest. Those that walk the path of light chose instead to just walk away, beyond the borders of Rhaenyra. In the end, there were only a few of us left. But before that, it was good. I had the man I was convinced would be my cornerstone, though I'd already passed the trials on my own. And I had Morgan. The Great White was gone. But I was convinced I'd made the right choice.
He looked back up at me, a somber expression on his face.
Morgan had such potential. Even though I thought him brash and foolish, I could see the strength in him. Mirren could too, though I thought there was some jealousy there. It wasn't enough to come between them. Morgan loved his brother more than anything else in the world. He worshipped the ground Mirren walked on. It almost destroyed him when... It almost destroyed the both of us.
You went dark. He nodded.
After we banished Mirren to the Realm of Shadows, and after I brought the King of Sorrows back from madness, I felt it. In my head. And in my heart. Started out small and quiet and went on for years. It was a seduction, always there, whispering to me. All I had to do was give in to it, and all my wounds would be healed. All my grief would just fade away. And I would like to tell you I fought it valiantly, that I resisted and was almost able to escape it, and that in the end it proved to be too strong, but that would be a lie. It was shocking, Sam. Just how easy it was to give in, to bend to its whims. I locked myself in Castle Frecius and just let it consume me.
A twisted thrill raced along my skin, and I fidgeted in my seat.
It was without order,
Randall said, voice flat.
Without reason. It was chaos, but there was such a beauty in it that I wondered why I hadn't considered it before. Why I looked down on the Darks as I had, given how free I felt. I was without a cornerstone, though I had never needed one. Cornerstones die, Sam. One day they die, and you are left alone. I knew this. And I still wasn't prepared for it. Maybe my circumstances were different, maybe. Fighting Mirren, as I had, compounded my situation. But I don't know if I can use that as an excuse. I was angry, and in mourning, and raging against everyone and everything. And it was easy to give in.
How did you come back?
Just because I'd given up on myself doesn't mean that others had given up on me. You've seen them before, yes? The addicts, in the hospitals, the streets of Meridian City.
I nodded.
It was like that, I think. An addiction. And I needed to be detoxified.
Morgan.
Morgan. And at great cost to his life. I could have killed him. I almost did. He never gave up on me. Even when I'd given up on myself.
And the Great White, he didn't... Why didn't he... Randall snorted.
He didn't need words to make his disdain for my relationship with Mirren known. I understood that I had a choice. I could continue my education with him, or I could choose Mirren. I made my choice. I haven't seen the Great White since, and I can't say that I wouldn't make the same decision if I had to do it all over again. For all that I've lost, for all that Mirren has done, I did love him once, and he loved me. Maybe I could have done more to save him, but I don't know that it matters. Not anymore.
He smiled, sadly.
It's a price to pay for living such a long life, Sam. You have time to dwell on all your mistakes.
Can you see why I don't want it?
I can,
he said, not unkindly.
But I don't know if you have a choice.
And I hesitated.
There,
Randall said with a frown.
That, what was that?
He watched me with a thoughtful look on his face.
What happened to you in the dark woods? You're not who you once were.
Are any of us?
Deflection.
I rolled my eyes. So maybe some things are the same.
I can feel it, you know, your magic. Even when you were young, it was expansive. More so than I'd ever seen before, or since with any magical being.
And now?
Now it seems almost limitless.
I didn't like the sound of that, even though I thought it could be true. I can't do the things you can.
No, I don't expect you can, but then I am far older than you. Give it time.
I was annoyed at that. We don't have time? Mirren's...
Mirren can wait. For now. Sam, the woods.
What?
I don't...
You do. Don't play coy with me, boy. It's not a good look on you, and I'm not the fool you seem to take me for. The Grim Wars.
I slumped in the chair. Man, I thought we were done being serious and morose. Then, once I was feeling sufficiently good about myself, I was going to go have sex with my boyfriend and maybe eat some cheese and then go to sleep.
There are more important things than post-sex cheese.
That's certainly not true.
You have them. Morgan's, Mirren's, and your own.
I nodded.
Did you open them?
Only mine, when GW had me work on it.
He hates it, doesn't he?
I grinned. So much. Randall looked like he was fighting a smile. Or having a small stroke.
Why?
What?
Why didn't you open the other two?
I decided to be as honest as possible. It hurt too much.
Morgan's?
Yeah.
And Mirren's?
Too angry.
I don't blame you for that.
You don't?
No.
Oh, well. Thanks, I guess.
But you're going to have to.
I sat up straight in my chair. My skin clammy. Why?
Because you need to see. The past. The future.
That's vaguely ominous. No, thank you.
That wasn't a request, Sam.
We could pretend it was. You used the word ask, after all.
Sam.
I stared at him. He was infuriatingly calm. I sighed and picked up the pack from beside my chair. I set it on my lap and just left it there. There was something I needed to say before we did whatever we were about to do. I had a feeling I wasn't going to like it either way, so the longer I could put it off, the better. The trials. He blinked.
What about them? They're irrelevant to you now, I would think.
I know, but if you think I should still go through them, I will.
You don't need to prove yourself to me.
I arched an eyebrow at him. I've always had to prove myself to you. That's kind of our thing.
I only ever wanted the best for you.
Even when I turned your nose into a dick?
Even then.
I sighed and looked down at the pack in my lap. I had to get this out before I couldn't. I don't remember some of it. About being in the woods. It's like a dream. The more I'm removed from it, the hazier it gets. Randall said nothing. Not all of it,
though. Some things are startlingly clear. I remember the rain on my face when I walked through the dark woods. I remember the pain I felt. The grief. I remember questioning myself if I was doing the right thing. If I was just running away again. Or if I was doing what was expected of me. After Morgan died. When you came and took Mirren away. You told me that I had to do what was necessary, even if my heart was breaking. Randall closed his eyes and breathed. And I did. I did, Randall, even though my heart was breaking. Because I was lost. Morgan was gone. You were gone. Ryan was dying. The king proclaimed I would be his wizard when you returned. And the gods, they... You know what they wanted from me. What they asked. The Great White told me the first time that I had to go with him. That I had to leave all others behind and enter the woods. Randall opened his eyes.
I thought that might be the case.
I smiled weakly. Which is why you said what you did.
I didn't.
I shook my head. After you took him, where did you go?
To the ends of the earth. To a place where fire and ice meet along great frozen shelves, and the ground splits and lava spills. I left him there, but I knew it to be a temporary fix, that in the end it would only hobble him, until they could return. It was the only thing I could think to do to buy us all time, but he was stronger than I expected, and it didn't take him long to find his way back to Varenya.
Because of what he consumed.
Yes, Sam, because of what he consumed.
You told me once that you had hope. That you thought one day he could find his way back from the dark, like you did.
Yes.
I looked him straight in the eye. He lost that, right? When he took Morgan, whatever was left of the Mirren you knew is gone now.
I know,
he said quietly.
But I believe my cornerstone was lost long before he ever stepped foot back in Varenya.
I believed him. We traveled into the woods. For weeks, I didn't think they were so large. I was sure that the farther we walked, the greater chance we'd come out on the other side, and that I'd see the northern mountains in the distance, but it didn't happen. The forest went on and on and on, and eventually we weren't in Varenya anymore. We were beyond it, in between this world and the next. The trees were ancient, the sun was bigger, the stars were different. I asked the Great White where we were, and he told me that it didn't matter, that I had to clear my mind, that I had to forget. My friends, my family, my cornerstone. It was a weapon of the gods, after all. And here I was, far from home, being crammed full of magic, so much so that I thought my soul would break, preparing to face down a man who has taken so much from all of us. And what choice did I have? If the gods wanted Mirren vanquished, then he would be. If they wanted me to stop him, then I would. Instead, I was a pawn on a board. A piece being moved from square to square, and it was a game.
You were angry.
Very, I admitted. I raged against the stars, and against the dragons. Against you and Morgan and Vedoma for putting me in this position. Against my magic for even existing at all. It was a burden. One that I never asked for. But then... I realized I had asked for it when I was a kid. I made a wish upon the stars. I'd wished to be someone important, someone who mattered. And my wish had been granted, because I was important, though not in the way I expected. I mattered. And not because of what the gods had placed upon me. I mattered because I was loved. My parents, the king, Morgan, Justin, Gary, and Tiggy, and Kevin... Pete, Ryan, always my cornerstone. You. He took in a sharp breath. My wish came true. I continued, brushing my fingers over the pack, feeling the enclosed grimoires. I was important, and not because of what I could do, but because of the people who would lay down their life for me. I mattered. Not because of the magic I wield, but because there were people counting on me, and I was going to do everything I could to get back to them. Maybe. It's selfish, but I didn't stay in the woods for the sake of Verenia. I stayed because I'm loved, and I love in return, and that was something the gods could never understand, that the Great White could never understand, for all his anger toward cornerstones. That magic doesn't matter. None of this matters. If you have to go it alone.
What did you do?
All that was left was the truth. I agreed to go with the Great White. I agreed to let him change me, to make me into a wizard, to turn me into someone capable of mastering the dragons of Verenia, to accept my destiny and become what the gods were forcing me to be, if and only if, after all was said and done, after Mirren had been vanquished and the Darks banished from Verenia, he would take my magic from me and make me mortal. The only sounds came from the fire. He fought me on it for a long time in that hazy place. For weeks, I think, we fought.
And he agreed.
I rolled my eyes. What? Of course not. He's an asshole. Like hell he would do that. He was offended they even asked him. And eventually, he told me either I would shut up or he would banish me to a realm filled with tiny fish who would gnaw on me for decades.
That sounds like him.
And then he pointed out that there would always be villains even beyond Mirren, and that me not having my magic was a really stupid idea. Which, you know, fair point.
But then how...
I grinned rakishly at him. I'm Sam of Dragons. Do you really think I'd let something like that stop me? You said it yourself. My magic seems limitless, and it's what would extend my life. What the Great White didn't realize was that by teaching me control, to harness everything that was bursting from my lightning-struck heart, he gave me the tools to do it myself. You and Morgan always told me that I was the most powerful wizard in an age. I don't know if that's true, but I do have enough power in me to stop it from extending my life. I am a wizard, Randall, but I will age just like my parents, like the king, and Justin, and Ryan. We'll grow old together, and should one of us cross the veil before the other, it can be done with the knowledge that we'll soon be together again. He looked stunned.
You made yourself mortal.
I shrugged. Yeah. Maybe I'll have a few years tacked on at the end, but my magic doesn't control me. I control it. I'm a puppet to no one. It wasn't easy, and gods did it hurt, but it'll be worth it, I think, in the end. Randall shook his head slowly.
You stupid, wonderful boy.
The Great White wasn't too happy with me when he found out, but, what can you do?
And what of Kevin, and Tiggy, and Gary?
My smile faded a little at that. They will have each other. And a lifetime of memories. Because a life lived is a life worth remembering, no matter how long or short it may be. Mirren has forgotten that. The Great White has too, but I haven't. I will live my life as best I can. I'm going to kick some villain ass, I'm going to fuck some shit up, and then I'm going to live, Randall. And no one, not you, not the Great White, not the gods, can say otherwise. I'm in control of my own destiny. My paths have been set in stone, but... stone crumbles. And sometimes we have to forge our own way through. He watched me for a long time, stock still, gaze searching. Eventually he sighed and shook his head.
You're a pain in my ass.
Oh, please, like that's ever going to change. Dude, you're stuck with me now. We're wizard bros.
We are not wizard bros.
Such wizard bros. Face it, Randall, I'm a wizard, you're a wizard, and we're bros. Therefore, wizard bros.
I despise everything about you.
We both know that's not true.
He glared at me.
What you've done shouldn't even be possible.
I shrugged. Pretty much describes everything about me, though, right? The skin under his eye twitched. Now, as fun as this chat has been, I think it's time for the cheese and butt sex, so I'm just gonna
open your pack and take out the grimoires.
God damn it, I muttered. But I did as he asked. The tomes were heavy and felt jittery against my hands, like they were radiating energy. My own felt familiar and light, the pages known to me. Mirren's was dark and heavy, a rotten mystery whispering in my ears. Morgan's felt like comfort and home. It was his I'd avoided the most.
If you want to defeat Mirren, the answers lie within these pages.
I frowned at him. That sounded suspiciously like something Vadoma would say. Be more specific, please. He looked like he barely stopped himself from reaching out and slapping me upside the head.
What is a wizard's grimoire?
Their history, I said promptly. The story of their lives, their triumphs and failures, their magic and their innermost thoughts. Even though you give me shit for putting my innermost thoughts in mine.
That's because yours are done in sparkly pink pens and usually have to do with how firm Ryan Foxhart's buttocks are.
Yeah. Like you can bounce stuff off of it. Trust me, I have.
Most other wizards have an emotional maturity that doesn't allow them to write Mrs. Sam Foxhart in the margins.
I pity them immensely.
Be that as it may, if you hope to find the way to defeat Mirren, then here is where you must look. You have the magic, Sam. You have the dragons. Now it's time to formulate a plan.
How do you know I don't already have a plan? He stared at me. Right. It's me we're talking about. Sucks, dude.
You should start with Morgan's. He would... I told you he knew. That day.
I nodded, swallowing past the sudden lump in my throat. Randall averted his gaze, suddenly looking very tired.
I think, in the end, he knew what was coming, what he was doing, what was going to happen. And I know you blame yourself, Sam, for what happened, but your guilt is unfounded. Or at the very least, misplaced. Morgan of Shadows chose you because he loved you more than anyone or anything else in this world.
My eyes were stinging and wet. There was nothing I could do to stop it. Randall's hands shook.
I know that if called upon, he would do it again. And again and again, because more than anything, he believed in you. He believed that good would always conquer evil, that the light would always burn away the shadows. He made a choice that day, Sam. He chose you. Don't think he always would.
I hung my head. Tears dripped onto his grimoire in my lap.
Turn to page 527 in Morgan's grimoire, if you please. Read what is written and then join me outside. It's time we reunite a unicorn with his horn. Gods only know how that's going to go.
He lifted himself from his chair, knees popping as he grumbled about being far too old for this shit. It was a brief moment as he passed me by when he put his hand on my shoulder and squeezed. And then he was gone. The house was quiet around me. The fire was nothing but charred wood and tendrils of smoke.